Good morning. Again, today we begin Lent, and we always have the same gospel, not this, which it's always the same reading, but might be different, might be from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And today, what we do is we hear the temptation. And all the readings today have to deal with temptation. And our first week, what we're dealing with when we're talking about temptation, is we're going from fear of temptation. Every week for Lent, we're going to deal with something else. We'll go from fear of death, from fear of rejection, from fear of da-da-da. Every week we'll have a different theme. Today is fear of temptation. And the reason is because many people are afraid of temptation, but the problem is some people aren't afraid of it all. They don't sit there, they don't say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." They say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and push. Huh? Help me, I want to do this and I'm too weak. You know, again, dealing with that this week, I was dealing with my wonderful prepsters. You know, they're all so good and holy men of God. And so I'm asking them, "Okay, gentlemen, what are we going to do for Lent? What are you going to do?" Well, we're not going to tell you what they said, but most of you should know by now. Every year they're going to do the same thing. I said, "Very good, great." But then I said to them, I says, "This is what God is calling you to do. Just don't do that. What you got to do is not have sex with your girlfriends. No kind of sex, oral sex, nothing." And they all looked at me, and one kid in particular, there was three kids I was dealing with this, they said, "Father, that's not possible." And I says, "Then don't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't even do it. Because people play this game with Christ. Jesus, I will follow you as long as it's on my terms. Hey, Jesus, bow down and worship me. Because listen, what I want you to do, Jesus, I want you to love me. I want you to take care of me. I want when I spit in your face, and I want you to watch it. I want you to say, 'But that's okay, because you're special.'" I said, "Don't you dare make a mockery of Lent and a mockery of Christ. If you're called to follow him, the first thing you need to do is repent. And that means I want you." So I had the one kid look at me. I said, "Come here, look at me, right in the eyes. Do you promise me that you will not do anything sexual with your girlfriend for at least 40 days? Now, I'm trying to get them to go till marriage, of course, right? Because no fornicator will be blessed by God. I said, "Look at me. Do you promise for 40 days of your life to not have sex with your girlfriend?" "Can't do it, Father. I'd be lying to you." And I'd say, and I says, "Then you are a follower of the devil. You're not a follower of Jesus." "Don't you say that to me, Father." I said, "Listen, Jack, if you're going to follow Jesus, the only way you can follow Jesus is by saying, repenting of your sins and saying, 'Lord, you're in charge of my life.' Father, but I am weak." That fear of temptation. I say, "No, son, you are weak in yourself, but you don't have to do this yourself. The purpose of Lent is to let Christ give you strength inside. You know, Christ was tempted in the desert so he could show us the way out of temptation." Now again, you know, you've all dealt with me, most of you anyway, and when we deal with Genesis, if we go back to Genesis for a second in your Bibles, and this is page 10 in your pew Bibles for those who have pew Bibles, or if those who have regular Bibles, it's in chapter 3 of Genesis. And again, I ain't going to go through all this now because I've dealt with it too with you many, many times. But this again, let's begin with the devil. The devil always, the way he instills, the way he gets us to sin, is the first thing the devil does is what? He instills doubt. And how does he instill doubt? By asking the question, "Did God really say you can't miss Mass on Sunday? Did God really say it's a sin to have sex before marriage? Did God really say you can't get drunk? Did God really say you can't gossip? Did God really say you can't be proudful? Did God really say?" So the first thing the devil does is he instills a doubt and he asks the question. And so how many people do that all the time? "Oh, where does it say that in the Bible?" And then you show it to them, "Well, the Bible was written by man." No matter what you do, you're dead. Because, "Hey, I don't believe that." Well, you will when you stand before God. But anyway, "Does God really say that?" And she goes, "God said it. We cannot even look at it or touch it or we shall die." And then the devil is called the father of what? Lies. Because his father of lies says, "You certainly will not die." And that's a lie. Because God said, if you do it, you'll die. God is not a liar. If God says something, he is not a liar. If he lies, then he is not God. And we don't have to worship him because he's a liar. God said, the wages of sin is what, ladies and gentlemen? Death. So what you and I do when we sin, God says, I gave you a free will. You have that choice. But if you sin, what you will pay for that sin is your life. God is not a liar. But the devil says, oh, you certainly will not die. In fact, if you take from this tree, God knows you will know the difference between good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, the tree. Which that means the temptation then is that you will become God. You get to decide what's right. You get to decide what's wrong. Isn't that what people want? Well, Father, I believe it's okay. And if I believe it's okay, like a kid, I have a priest on a prep that told the kids, no matter what you do, everybody goes to heaven. And I think most people believe that. Oh yeah, I can be as bad, but I'm still gonna go to heaven because I'm a good person. Really? So I said to this kid who came in and says, Father, no, everybody's going to heaven. And this kid, I'm his confirmation sponsor. He's a senior prep and he has a year old child already, huh? I'm a good sponsor. Anyway, so here he is and paying attention to Father. So I says, oh son, so I go home to your house tonight. I blow your little baby away. I sit there and I do bad things with your girlfriend while you watch, and then I blow out my brains. But I'm going to heaven, right? No, Father, that's disgusting. I said, oh, so you determine who goes to heaven, right? So not everybody goes to heaven except for the people you think. So what do? You make yourself what? God. You're not God. God determines who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. We determine, so God determines what is right and God determines what is wrong. We determine whether we're going to obey him or disobey him. But the temptation from the beginning was, you will be like God. Don't let anybody tell you what's right and what's wrong. You're an adult, you make up your own mind. If you think it's right, it's right. If you think it's wrong, it's wrong. That's a lie. God never asked you. He told you, you obey or disobey. So, then she looks, and once she looks there, it sits there and says there, the woman saw in verse 6 of chapter 3, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. All sin has those three components in it, huh? It's good. If sin wasn't good, if there wasn't something good in it, we wouldn't do it. There's something desirable in it. I desire to do that. And there's something pleasing. It brings me pleasure. Now, those three things in themselves are not wrong in themselves. It's just when they're outside of God's will. So she looks at it, good, desirable, pleasurable, eats it, boom, ah. And she eats it and gives some to her husband, and what happens? A hole got knocked in her bucket of her soul. Death enters the world through one person's disobedience. One person. And we all buy into this, we call it original sin. Today, little Jonathan will be freed of that original sin. An original sin, some people don't believe in original sin, right? I don't believe that. Well, that's why people die. That's why people get sick. That's why people blow up the towers. There's something not right in the world. So if you don't want to believe in original sin, you're a nut. You're not in contact with reality. There's something not right with the world. And what'll happen today in this baptism is he'll be freed from original sin. All of us are freed from that when we're baptized. But then we're still got to deal with this temptation. And he, though he's going to be a priest, will have to sit there and be tempted all the days of his life, huh? And he's going to have to struggle with this temptation, right? Priesthood, you got it. So what after he's going to struggle with this? Now, how do we struggle with temptation? The same way Jesus did. Like I looked at that kid today and yesterday, and I had him two periods. And I said, look at me. And he says, I can't, Father. I can't promise you that. And I said, I want you to know what you're doing by this decision. You're saying following sin is more important to you than following Christ. And he says to me, Father, why did I come in this room this day? I says, because God wants you in heaven, son. I says, you don't have the power, but Jesus within you has the power. Jesus showed us today how to deal with temptation. And how did he do that? How did he deal with the devil? He took the word of God and he shoved it down the devil's throat. Now, each of us are tempted in different ways. Some of us are tempted to sexuality and lust. Some of us are tempted in anger. Some of us are tempted in gossip. Some of us are tempted in pride. Some of us are tempted just by doing it my way. I did it my way. And we all know that's the theme song of those who are in hell. I did it my way. Great song. You're going to sing it forever in hell. Well, that's what it's about. So all of us are tempted in one way or the other. So what we got to do is we got to go to the Word of God. We got to find out where our core sins are, where we struggle, what keeps us from going to God. Now notice this. It just takes one little thread to keep a bird from flying and taking off. One thread. So too, it keeps one sin that keeps us from entering the kingdom. One. And so we got to deal with these sins. Now, how do we deal with the temptation? We don't have to be afraid. We take the Word of God and we sit there and we deal with it, like if it's the sexuality. We memorize Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. Make no mistake about it, no fornicator, someone who has sex before marriage, no fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what God says. He didn't ask you. And then, so next time you're tempted, like I tell my gentlemen, I say, gentlemen, next time a girl wants to have sex with you, you look at her and quote to her Ephesians 5, 5 to 7. Make no mistake about it, no fornicator, no unclean or lustful person, affected or adulterer of any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no one deceive you with worthless arguments. These are sins that bring down God's wrath and are disobedient. Therefore, have nothing to do with them. I love you too much, sweetheart, to send your soul to hell. So we'll wait until we're married. Ain't that a horrible thing to do to a high school kid? I love it. Because that's what God, I said, God is calling you to be a man. God is calling you to be a woman of Him instead of a woman or a man of the world. And so I said, then you take the Word of God and you memorize it. And when you're tempted, you shove it down the devil's throat. And if it's simple as something as simple as Philippians, it says, I can do all things in Christ who is my strength. You can't go against temptation, but Jesus can, and He is your strength. So today, you do not have to be afraid of temptation. You don't have to be afraid of sin. Jesus is showing you today in the readings how to fight against it and how to be victorious over it. What you got to do is make it your will that that's what you want to do. The second time this kid came into my room and went back and forth for an hour, I said, look at me. Do you promise you will not do anything with your girlfriend for at least 40 days? And I said, and if you fall, what you must do is fast on bread and water the next day, every time you fall. Do you promise? Yes, Father, I promise. And I gave him a big hug and I said, I am so proud of you, son. Because now you know what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Pick up your cross and follow after Him. And this little beginning will make you a great man of God. May that be so for all of us. May each of you know His love today and forever. Amen.